February 10th. Our reading in the Old Testament comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verse 11. We'll read through chapter 31, verse 18. Here is some of what we'll be reading about today in Scripture. This money that it talks about was like a census tax. It continued the principle that all the people belonged to God and therefore needed to be redeemed by a sacrifice. Whenever a census took place, everyone, both rich and poor, was required to pay a ransom. God does not discriminate between people. Now, all of us need mercy and forgiveness because of our sinful thoughts and actions. There is no way the rich person can buy off God, and no way the poor can avoid paying. God's demand is that all of us come humbly before Him to be forgiven and brought into His family. Now, the Israelites often burned incense, but this holy incense could be burned only in the tabernacle. Here, God gave the recipe for this special incense. The sweet-smelling incense was burned in shallow dishes, called incense burners, and was used to show honor and reverence to God. It was like prayer lifting up to God. It was also a vital part of the sacred ceremony on the Day of Atonement, when the high priest carried his smoking censer into the most holy place. Now, this incense, like the sacred anointing oil, was so holy that the people were strictly forbidden to copy it for any kind of personal use. The punishment for doing so was rather severe. You were cut off from the entire community. Now, God regards all the skills of His people, not merely those with theological or ministerial abilities. Our tendency is to regard only those who are up front and in leadership roles. Well, God gave Bezalel and Aholiab spirit-filled abilities in artistic craftsmanship. Take notice here of all the abilities God gives His people. Don't diminish your skills if they're not like, you know, Moses or Aaron's. And we'll read here today that the Sabbath had two purposes. It was a time to rest and a time to remember what God had done. We need rest. Without time out from the bustle, life loses its meaning. In our day, as in Moses' day, taking time out is not easy. But God reminds us that without Sabbaths, we will forget the purpose for all of our activity and lose the balance crucial to a faithful life. Make sure your Sabbath provides a time of both refreshment and remembrance of God. And now let's begin our reading today, here in the Old Testament. February 10th, the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 30, verse 11, through chapter 31, verse 18. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Whenever you take a census of the people of Israel, each man who is counted must pay a ransom for himself to the Lord. Then no plague will strike the people as you count them. Each person who is counted must give a small piece of silver as a sacred offering to the Lord. This payment is half a shekel, based on the sanctuary shekel, which equals 20 gerahs. All who have reached their 20th birthday must give this sacred offering to the Lord. When this sacred offering is given to the Lord to purify your lives, making you right with Him, the rich must not give more than the specified amount, and the poor must not give less. Receive this ransom money from the Israelites, and use it for the care of the tabernacle. It will bring the Israelites to the Lord's attention, and it will purify your lives." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a bronze wash basin with a bronze stand. Place it between the tabernacle and the altar, and fill it with water. Aaron and his sons will wash their hands and feet there. They must wash with water whenever they go into the tabernacle to appear before the Lord, and when they approach the altar to burn up their special gifts to the Lord, or they will die. They must always wash their hands and feet, or they will die. This is a permanent law for Aaron and his descendants, to be observed from generation to generation." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Collect choice spices, 12.5 pounds of pure myrrh, 6.25 pounds of fragrant cinnamon, 6.25 pounds of fragrant calamus, and 12.5 pounds of cassia, as measured by the weight of the sanctuary shekel. Also get 1 gallon of olive oil. Like a skilled incense maker, blend these ingredients to make a holy anointing oil. Use this sacred oil to anoint the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the table and all its utensils, the lampstand and all its accessories, the incense altar,
the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the wash basin with its stand. Consecrate them to make them absolutely holy. After this, whatever touches them will also become holy. Anoint Aaron and his sons also, consecrating them to serve me as priests, and say to the people of Israel, this holy anointing oil is reserved for me from generation to generation. It must never be used to anoint anyone else, and you must never make any blend like it for yourselves. It is holy, and you must treat it as holy. Anyone who makes a blend like it or anoints someone other than a priest will be cut off from the community. Then the Lord said to Moses, gather fragrant spices, resin droplets, mollusk shell, and galbanum, and mix these fragrant spices with pure frankincense, weighed out in equal amounts. Using the usual techniques of the incense maker, blend the spices together and sprinkle them with salt to produce a pure and holy incense. Grind some of the mixture into a very fine powder and put it in front of the Ark of the Covenant, where I will meet with you in the tabernacle. You must treat this incense as most holy. Never use this formula to make this incense for yourselves. It is reserved for the Lord, and you must treat it as holy. Anyone who makes incense like this for personal use will be cut off from the community. Then the Lord said to Moses, look, I have specifically chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, grandson of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God, giving him great wisdom, ability, and expertise in all kinds of crafts. He is a master craftsman, expert in working with gold, silver, and bronze. He is skilled in engraving and mounting gemstones and in carving wood. He is a master at every craft. And I have personally appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to be his assistant. Moreover, I have given special skill to all the gifted craftsmen, so they can make all the things I have commanded you to make. The tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark's cover, the place of atonement, all the furnishings of the tabernacle, the table and its utensils, the pure gold lampstand with all its accessories, the incense altar, the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, the wash basin with its stand, the beautifully stitched garments, the sacred garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons to wear as they minister as priests, the anointing oil, the fragrant incense for the holy place. The craftsmen must make everything as I have commanded you. The Lord then gave these instructions to Moses. Tell the people of Israel, be careful to keep my Sabbath day, for the Sabbath is a sign of the covenant between me and you from generation to generation. It is given so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. You must keep the Sabbath day, for it is a holy day for you. Anyone who desecrates it must be put to death. Anyone who works on that day will be cut off from the community. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day must be a Sabbath day of complete rest, a holy day dedicated to the Lord. Anyone who works on the Sabbath must be put to death. The people of Israel must keep the Sabbath day by observing it from generation to generation. This is a covenant obligation for all time. It is a permanent sign of my covenant with the people of Israel. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, but on the seventh day he stopped working and was refreshed. When the Lord finished speaking with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him the two stone tablets inscribed with the terms of the covenant, written by the finger of God. And now as we turn our attention to the reading of the New Testament, our narrative today comes from the book of Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 through 68. And here's a brief commentary on some of what we'll be reading about in Scripture today. We'll be reading about the betrayer Judas. He told the crowd to arrest the man he kissed. This was not an arrest by Roman soldiers under Roman law, but an arrest by the religious leaders. Judas pointed Jesus out, not because Jesus was hard to recognize, but because Judas had agreed to be the formal accuser in case a trial was called. Judas was able to lead the group to one of Jesus' retreats, where no onlookers would interfere with the arrest. Well, the man who cut off the servant's ear was Peter. Peter was trying to prevent what he saw as a defeat. He didn't realize that Jesus had to die in order to gain victory. But Jesus demonstrated perfect commitment to his Father's will. His kingdom would not be advanced with swords, but with faith and obedience. Now, although the religious leaders could have arrested Jesus at any time, they came at night because they were afraid of the crowds that followed him each day. A few hours earlier, this band of men had said they would rather die than to desert their Lord. Earlier in the evening, Jesus had been questioned by Annas, the former high priest and the father-in-law of Caiaphas. Annas then sent Jesus to Caiaphas' home to be questioned. Because of their haste to complete the trial and see Jesus die before the Sabbath, less than 24 hours away, the religious leaders met in Caiaphas' home at night instead of waiting for daylight and meeting in the temple, which by law they were supposed to do. Now, the High Council was the most powerful religious and political body of the Jewish people. Although the Romans controlled Israel's government, they gave the people power to handle religious disputes and some civil disputes, so the High Council made many of the local decisions affecting daily life. But a death sentence had to be approved by the Romans. The high priest accused Jesus of blasphemy, calling himself God. To the Jews, this was a great crime, punishable by death. The religious leaders refused even to consider that Jesus' words might be true. They had decided to kill Jesus, and in so doing, they sealed their own fate as well as his. Like the members of the High Council, you must decide whether Jesus' words are blasphemy or truth. Your decision has eternal implications. And with that, let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. February 10th, the New Testament, Matthew chapter 26, verses 47 through 68. And even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priests and elders of the people. The traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal. "You will know which one to arrest when I greet him with a kiss." So Judas came straight to Jesus. "Greetings, Rabbi," he exclaimed and gave him the kiss. Jesus said, "My friend, go ahead and do what you have come for." Then the others grabbed Jesus and arrested him. But one of the men with Jesus pulled out his sword and struck the high priest's slave, slashing off his ear. "Put away your sword," Jesus told him. "Those who use the sword will die by the sword. Don't you realize that I could ask my Father for thousands of angels to protect us, and he would send them instantly? But if I did, how would the scriptures be fulfilled that describe what must happen now?" Then Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I some dangerous revolutionary that you come with swords and clubs to arrest me? Why didn't you arrest me in the temple? I was there teaching every day. But this is all happening to fulfill the words of the prophets as recorded in the scriptures." At that point, all the disciples deserted him and fled. Then the people who had arrested Jesus led him to the home of Caiaphas, the high priest, where the teachers of religious law and the elders had gathered. Meanwhile, Peter followed him at a distance and came to the high priest's courtyard. He went in and sat with the guards and waited to see how it would all end. Inside, the leading priests and the entire high council were trying to find witnesses who would lie about Jesus so they could put him to death. But even though they found many who agreed to give false witness, they could not use anyone's testimony. Finally, two men came forward who declared, "This man said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and rebuild it in 3 days.'" Then the high priest stood up and said to Jesus, "Well, aren't you going to answer these charges? What do you have to say for yourself?" But Jesus remained silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I demand in the name of the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus replied, "You have said it, and in the future you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his clothing to show his horror and said, "Blasphemy! Why do we need other witnesses? You have all heard his blasphemy. What is your verdict?" "Guilty," they shouted. "He deserves to die." Then they began to spit in Jesus' face and beat him with their fists, and some slapped him, jeering, Prophesy to us, you Messiah. Who hit you that time? Psalm 32, verses 1 through 11. Here, David expressed the joy of forgiveness. God had forgiven him for the sins he had committed against Bathsheba and Uriah. This is another of the penitential, that is, repentance psalms, where the writer confesses his sin to God. God wants to forgive sinners. Forgiveness has always been part of his loving nature. He announced this to Moses. He revealed it to David. He dramatically showed it to the world through Jesus Christ. These verses convey several aspects of God's forgiveness. He forgives disobedience, puts sin out of sight, and clears our record of guilt. The Apostle Paul quoted these verses over in Romans chapter 4 and showed that we can have this joyous experience of forgiveness through faith in Christ. What is confession? To confess our sin is to agree with God, acknowledging that He is right to declare what we've done as sinful and that we are wrong to desire or to do it. It means affirming our intention of forsaking that sin in order to follow God more faithfully. God describes some people as being like horses or mules that have to be controlled by bits and bridles. Rather than letting God guide them step by step, they stubbornly leave God only one option. If God wants to keep them useful for Him, He must use discipline and punishment. God longs to guide us with love and wisdom rather than punishment. He offers to teach us the best way to go. So accept the advice written in God's Word and don't let your stubbornness keep you from obeying God. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 11, a Psalm of David. Oh, what joy for those whose disobedience is forgiven, whose sin is put out of sight. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Interlude. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Interlude. Therefore, let all the godly pray to you while there is still time, that they may not drown in the floodwaters of judgment. For you are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with songs of victory. Interlude. The Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. Many sorrows come to the wicked, but unfailing love surrounds those who trust the Lord. So rejoice in the Lord and be glad, all you who obey Him. Shout for joy, all you whose hearts are pure. Proverbs chapter 8, verses 27 through 32. Wisdom was there when He established the heavens, when He drew the horizon on the oceans. I was there when He set the clouds above, when He established springs deep in the earth. I was there when He set the limits of the seas, so they would not spread beyond their boundaries, and when He marked off the earth's foundations. I was the architect at His side. I was His constant delight, rejoicing always in His presence. And how happy I was with the world He created. How I rejoiced with the human family. And so, my children, listen to me, for all who follow my ways are joyful.